If you have your Bible, turn with us tonight to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. The Bible says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, and not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are upon their prayers. But the voice of the Lord is against them that do evil." I want to preach a little bit tonight and go back to a subject that we was looking at a few weeks ago. And we kind of got sidetracked because of all the snow. But we was talking about being soul winners. And Proverbs said that he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. I don't know about you. When I finish this my course, amen, and I do what my best to do what God had me to do, and I come down to the day that they lay me in the dust, I hope that I can say that I tried to do my best, and that Christ can say that I've done well. Amen. I wonder today if we're doing well, if we're seeking to do those things. I would that somebody someday could say he was a wise man. Not because I have an excellency of knowledge. God knows there's a lot of people a lot smarter than I am. I'm just a little old redneck boy from Weaverville. But praise God, I love the Lord. And I thank Him for loving me. Amen. Even when I'm unlovable. But I would today, one of these days, in a little while, that somebody say he was wise because he loved Jesus. Amen. I hope I can say that I've got a heritage in the Lord tonight because He loves me. And I want to be able one day to pass that down. Amen. To someone along the way, that they can see that there's a difference in my life. We look at this tonight, we see a Brother Peter, and he's speaking to us, and he's telling us about this mission that we have. And I want to preach just a little while tonight, if God will be my help, on having compassion. Having compassion. Did you ever think about compassion? I believe tonight compassion will go a long ways. Compassion, I believe, will get us further than anything else we have in this life. When we have compassion one for another, I know that it works. When we begin to see that and we begin to realize that, it tells us that we have a message to deliver. Amen. A message of compassion to shed abroad in this land that we live. To tell somebody that we love them. Amen. That Jesus loves them and He cares for their heart. You say, how do you do that? Peter says we begin to do that when we come together in one mindness. When we get lined up and focused on God, He begins to show us where He'd have us to be. He said, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion, who? One of another. He said, when we get one-minded, He said, then we'll get focused and we'll have compassion one for another. That's why this is a special place, because when somebody's sick, when somebody has prayer objects, amen, we just fall in with them. We begin to pray and we begin to take supplications before God and we begin to take petitions before God, and God begins to move in a miraculous way. Does God always answer prayers the way we want them answered? No. But praise God, we know that He hears. Amen. Because we barred the gates of heaven with the prayers of the saints. Amen. We offer up that help one for another. I believe it when we begin to do this. He said, love as brethren and be pitiful, be courteous. He said, we're supposed to be sympathetic to those others. Amen. I wonder how much sympathy we have. Are you a sympathetic person? A lot of us don't have much sympathy. Amen. We're not very sympathetic tonight. Somebody's hurting, somebody's doing something. Amen. We don't have no sin. We said, so what? Amen. You know what's wrong with the world today? It's all about me. As long as I'm okay, everything's going to be okay. But there's a lot of people tonight that's struggling in this old world which we live. Amen. But and Peter says, hey, you know what? He said, if we come together in one mind, he said, we'll be sympathetic. Amen? He said, we will have that. We'll be pitiful. He said, we'll also be courteous. In other words, we'll not only that will we be sympathetic, but we'll be kind one to another. There'll be some kindness, praise God, that'll come out when we begin to show compassion. When we begin to have compassion one for another. When we begin to do this thing, it's seek and do right. He said, not rendering evil for evil. Doing those things that's injurious to one another. We don't want to do anything to hurt nobody. Amen. We want to, hey, we're here to build up, not to tear down. Amen. We're here to encourage, to edify the brethren. Amen. To show them, praise God, the love of God. And we do that by letting it be real in our lives. Through that compassion, that pity, and that being courteous in this world that we live in. He said, in rendering, not rendering evil for evil, nor riling for riling. You know what riling is? That's slander. We're living today in a world that people like to slander people. Amen. And they do it down on the, I don't know how your workplace is. A lot of workplaces, you got people, they like to slander you because they can put you down. It makes them feel like they're bigger. Amen. And if we ain't very careful, we do the same thing at the house of God. We'll put somebody down, amen, so we'll feel like we're bigger. But you know what? If we had compassion, one night minus, we'd realize that brother, that sister, praise God, they need a hand up, not a push down.
Amen.
Amen. That's having that compassion one for another. That's a reaching down that hand and offering to help somebody up. But you know what we do? A lot of times we do what the devil would like to do. We take and put a foot on them. If we get somebody gets down, amen, we'll just go ahead and put our foot on them. What? I do nothing. But it's that riling. It's that doing. No, it's slander. It's putting them down, amen, when we ought to be offering to help them up if we had compassion or heart. So knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. And I want you to get this. He says, praise God, if we begin to show compassion one to another in one mindness, praise God, God will begin to show us an inheritance of blessing. He'll begin to bless us, praise God. He'll begin to help us. He'll begin to encourage us as we help one another, that we, as we begin to all come together and seek a right path, the way of righteousness. Amen. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, the Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. So as we begin to see this, we begin to have passion and we begin to seek after that righteousness. He said, just like it's hungry, just like it's a thirst. Anybody ever get hungry? Amen. I don't know about you. I like to eat. Y'all Baptists like to eat. But he said, if we seek after righteousness, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, that's what's right in the eyes of God. And we begin to desire it and hunger for it and thirst for it. He said, God will begin to bless us. And he said, they shall be filled. So what he's doing, he's telling us here that if we have this compassion. But how do we know that we've got that tonight? Do you have compassion for those that's lost? See, it's easy to look down our long ecclesiastical nose and say, you know what? Boy, they're just awful people. I'm glad I don't have to fool with them. But I want to tell you, if it wasn't but for the grace of God, we'd probably be right there. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we could have probably been, Brother Jeff, in worse shape than they are. But because if there's a God that loved us, and we recognize that love, and He had compassion on us, praise God, and He come to where we were, praise God, lifted us up out of that muck and mire that we were in, put our feet on a solid rock, praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and gave us some help.
Amen.
What do those people need? They need help, praise God. Amen. Come out of the same muck and mire we were in. Amen. But it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He had compassion on us. And He lifts us out. But I want to say tonight, if we're born again, if we've got the Lord Jesus living in our heart, we ought to have a desire, we ought to have compassion to one mind us, amen, to bring people out. And if we bring them out, you know what we do with them? We bring them out, we bring them to Jesus. Amen. That's where they've got to get to. That's where these people's got to get to in order to get help. Amen. That's why we need this blessed book. That's why we need the Word of God. That's why we need to have it instilled to us, poured into us, praise God, every day. I know they was we was talking one day about church and stuff, and there was some people said, you know what? I need church every day. Amen. We do. We need church. We need God. We need a relationship with the Heavenly Father every day. Now, some of you is probably a whole lot better than me, but I need it every day. I need the Lord to help me every day. I need Him to show me His way every day. Amen. Because, this old flesh gets sidetracked. The devil will waylay your flesh. He'll catch you by the roadside, praise God. Take you to places that you don't want to go. You don't need to be. Amen. But the Lord said, you know what we need to do? We need to have compassion. Peter said we need to have compassion. The Lord said we need to have compassion. The Lord had compassion for lost. Amen. He goes on verse 10, he says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." Amen. That's deceit. That's disguising it to make it something that it's not. I believe there's a lot of people today in the world that they're disguising it and make it. They say, "Well, preacher, I love the Lord. He's the Lord of my life. He's good." But then they get down there somewhere else, and you know what he is? He's put on the back burner. Amen. That's deceit. That's guile. Amen. That's disguising it. Hey, man, that's pretending. That's dressing up to be something that you're not. Amen. But he said, if you've got compassion, your heart got love, you realize, praise God, the depth of your soul, that these old sinners everywhere. Amen. And that we're called out to be different and be separate from those old sinners. When them old sinners see us, praise God, they oughtn't to see that man that, praise God, that we used to be. They ought to be that man, see that man or that woman, that boy and girl that we're becoming. Amen. There ought to be some changes taking place in our life. Why? Because the Holy Ghost of God has moved in and He's taken up His abode. Amen. So we begin to have the compassion that He calls for us to have. Let me show you that. If you go over in John chapter 1. Perfect example of this in John chapter 1. Now the Bible teaches here, so John's a John Baptist, he's a baptizer, he's down there by the Jordan. And John chapter 1 verse 35, and the Bible says again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and they said, looking upon Jesus, O John, and said, as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now can you picture, you got to picture this. Old John B., he's down there in the water. Amen. And he looks up and coming over the horizon. The one that he's been telling about. He said, I ain't even worthy to just get down and unlace his shoes and wash his feet. Amen. But praise God, he said, that one that's a coming. He said, there he is. He said, it's the precious Lamb of God. Amen. And the Bible says when he says that, that there's a couple of fellows, disciples, that's been there with him. And it said, two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Now I want you to see this. These two disciples heard John. They'd been listening to John. I mean, I believe they'd done been baptized with repentance of sins. I mean, they'd done put away their sin and were trying to do right. Hey, praise God. I would to God water to wash away our sins. I'd get everybody I could. I'd haul time, drag them down to the river, praise God, drag them through, praise God, till I knew they were gone. Amen. But it won't get rid of their sin, but praise God, hey, he come with what it was that hard attitude, amen, that they was coming with, that they wanted to get right, they wanted to do right, they wanted to look, they were looking for the coming Messiah. They was looking for the precious Lamb of God. And that morning, glory to God, as they looked up across the horizon, John says, praise the Lord, there he is. Yes. Amen. Two of them disciples had been following John. Praise God, they stepped out on faith. And they said, well, if that's him, praise God, we're just going to follow him. Amen. Now, the amazing thing about this story is that Andrew, praise God, the Bible says, Andrew began to follow Jesus. Now, look what it says. And he said, verse 19, it says, and he said unto them, come and see. They'd ask him, he said, Rabbi, where do you live? Where dwellest thou? And he said, come and see. And then notice what he says in verse 4. He said, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him, Jesus, was Andrew, Simon's Peter's brother. So the Bible says that Andrew's one of those that's a listening to John. And John says, you know, there, hey, the one I've been telling you about, the promised Messiah, there he is. Amen. That's the Son of God. That's the precious Lamb of God. And the Bible said that these fellows take off after Jesus. And they begin to follow Jesus. But now notice this. They haven't been following but just a little while, Brother Bill. And old Andrew cuts out. Amen. And he gets the thing. Hey, he's just been following Jesus just a little while. But there was something stirred up down inside his soul. And he said, you know what? I've got to go find my brother. Praise God. And I've got to point him to Jesus.
Amen.
Hey, not very long, praise God. Just a little while with Jesus. He's following him. And he said, wait a minute. I've got to get my brother to Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about having compassion one for another. And the Bible says that he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Now notice what he does. It said, and he brought him to Jesus. Amen. See, that's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. We go out the highways ahead and we compel them to come in. We get them to Jesus. See, we got this mental state that we think we got to go out, we got to win them, we got to get them in, we got to save them, and we got to get them trained up, and we got to do all these things. No, our job and our responsibility is go in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Just bring them to Jesus. Amen. Amen. If we can just get them to the Messiah, praise God, then everything else plays out. Even to the saving of the soul. Praise the Lord. Something will happen like happened to little Sarah the other night. They'll get to Can't Help It. They'll begin to ask questions. Now the Holy Ghost of God will begin to answer, deal with their heart, praise God, and they'll get right. Amen? They'll get saved. But old Andrew thought of his brother, and the Bible said he brought him to Jesus. And in the next day, Jesus come along, he found Philip. He said, day following Jesus, verse 32, or verse 43, he said, and they following Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida and the city of Andrew and Peter. And now notice this. Jesus found Philip and he said, Philip, would you follow me? As Philip starts following Jesus, but he don't follow him very long that he cuts out. And what does he do? He goes and finds Nathanael. Amen. Amen. Hey, just follow Jesus just a little while, praise God. And he cut off for this. He said, Lord, I'll be back. Amen. And he went and he found Nathanael. Praise the Lord. I tell you, when you get to following Jesus, you get to close, you get to realizing what Jesus can do. You get to realize the power. You get to realize the majesty. You get to realizing the authority, praise God, in your own life, the way he's moving around you. You'll want to give that to someone else. Amen. Hey, I don't think it's something that you could just hoard up inside you. I believe it's something you ought to be wanting to give out everywhere you get, in a liberal fashion. Amen. Kind of pouring it out like your sack's got a hole in it. Praise God. And the Bible says, he said in verse 45, said, Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him. He said, Nathanael, you got to come. He said, we found him. Amen. He said, I just imagine old Nathanael. He said, you found who? He said, hey, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Amen. Said we found the one that they've been prophesying about. We found the one they've been telling about. Amen. Nathanael, he scratches his head and he said, huh? And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Little old city on a hill, don't amount to nothing. Only thing that's up there is a couple of old carpenters. He said, Philip said unto him, come and see. Amen. He said, hey, had just a little while with Jesus, and he went and found Nathanael. He said, you got to come see. We found a promised one. Glory be to God. He said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He said, come and see. Amen. Praise God. Hey, when we get to witness to people, what took place here? Oh, Nathan, oh, Phil, he had a testimony. Amen. He had something to tell. Praise God. Andrew had something to tell. They had a testimony. They'd been with Jesus. Amen. Hey, listen, I want to tell you something. If you've been with Jesus, you've got a testimony.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You can't hang out with the Lord Almighty, praise God, and not have a testimony. Hello? You're going to have a testimony. You're going to want to tell somebody. Amen. I'm afraid a lot of us, praise God, we've got cold and indifferent in the day that we live. There was a time, praise God, we wouldn't bring people to Jesus. There was a time that we had compassion on the lost, praise God, and we wanted to get them to the Lord. But we're living in a day and an hour that we've got cold and indifferent on God. Everything in the world is more important than the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in the world is more important with our salvation and our relationship to Holy God. We're in bad shape. America's fallen. Amen? And she's going to fall down so far that she can't get up. Amen? The only one now that can get her up be the Lord. I mean, we about give in to the devil. We about turned our backs. We about cowered down to these wickedness of this world. And you know who's going to pay the price? Look at me, you mamas and daddies, grandmas and grandpas. You know who's going to pay the price? These little old youngins. These little old youngins, praise God, one of these days, if we ain't very careful, they won't be able to sit in a church like this and worship the Lord God. They won't be able to carry their Bible. They're already trying to get rid of it. Trying to ban them in lots of places. They're already telling our kids, well, you can't bring that old black back by King James Bible to school. Kids, don't you listen to that. You take your Bible and at lunch you read your Bible. If they tell you you can't, you tell them to call your pastor. I'll go down there and we'll have a talk with them. Amen? There's no law in this land that says you can't, amen, the separation of church and state is to keep the church from the state from telling you that you can't read your Bible. Amen? They flipped it upside down using it against us, but it was to keep the church, keep the government from dictating to you, Jesse, that you couldn't have a Bible study with them boys and girls down there at the house, at the schoolhouse, and tell them about the house of God and invite them to come on up and see. Amen? Boy, if we could get some of these youngins fired up and they'd get a desire, say, hey, you know what? You ought to come up to the church house and see what God's doing. Amen. I would to God they'd get started. Hey, we're not going to. Got a bunch of mamas and daddies on stool to do nothing. We're not going to get stirred up. Amen. Wouldn't that invite nobody to church if a hair lipped the devil? Amen. But praise God, if we could get these little old youngins stirred up enough, praise God, little old siren, some of them say, you know what? Jesus saved me. I love Him, praise God. Jesus is so good to me. Amen. Save me from hell. I don't have to go there. Amen. These little old youngins begin to ask questions. They begin to desire what little old sire some of them's getting. Amen. Even the saving of the soul, compassion to be running rampant in this place. But we see here in these examples just a little bit. They said, what did they do? They said, you need to come see. Amen. What about Jesus? You need to come see. Compel them to come in. Tell the lost. Amen. You need to come see. You need to come see this man Jesus. You need to come see what He wants to do for you. You need to come see how He wants to change your lives. We've seen Him step in and intervene in people's lives right here in this place in such a magnificent fashion. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we think things bad have happened to us, but praise God, God's getting the glory all the way to the house. Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't always realize what's going on, but praise God, God knows what's going on. Amen. He ain't been a... Praise God, if we just decide that we're going to set ourselves aside for the glory of God, that we're going to realize that there's a better part of this thing. Amen. Put aside that past and get up with the present. Looking toward the future. Amen. That's what the Bible tells us we got to do. Amen. We got to start pointing people to Jesus. We got to tell them, come and see. Come see this man from Nazareth. All that he's doing. Praise God. Amen. Well, I tell you what if we begin to tell, what if everywhere you begin to go, you said, you know, you ought to come up to church and see what the Lord's doing. What's He doing? Oh, you got to come see. I mean, that's all you'd have to do. Amen? That's all you'd have to do. Say, boy, you ought to come up to our church house and you ought to see what God's doing. Or what the Lord's doing up there. What's He doing, Brother Rex? Oh, you just got to come see. Amen. Curiosity gets the cat. Amen? Amen. Praise God, they're getting to want to see what you're getting, what's got you so excited. Amen. And man, and next thing you know, they'll be piling in the door, bringing youngins in tow. Glory to God, coming in, praise, coming to see. Praise God. Why? Because a little bit of, you know what that is? That's having compassion, caring one for another. Amen. Realize if we can just get them in, but we gotta set ourselves apart from those that old past that we used to be, and that old past that a lot of times we look at people, we look at who we knew them to be. Amen. Hey, you go out there and we're going to talk to some of them people out there. I went to school and stuff and ask them about Jeff Massey. Says, oh goodness, I know him. Amen. But praise God, I see him now. And they said, yeah, I remember you. I said, hey, I'm not that man I used to be. Praise the Lord. But I ain't there yet. I ain't achieved yet. But praise God, I'm not that man I'm going to be either. Amen. Praise God. Bless his holy name. But we see Peter beginning to work right about it. John begins to tell us about it. But look over at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. The Bible begins to expound here for us in verse 13. Paul begins to lay it out. How that we can be a help along the way if we just have compassion in our hearts. Philippians chapter 3 verse 13, he says, brethren, see here he's talking to me and you again. He said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Now notice what he says. He said, forgetting those things which are behind. Amen. If we could forget about those things that we've left behind, if we could forget our past. See, a lot of times our past has a lot of baggage with it. Our past, hey, it's good to remember where we was at, where God brought us from. You never forget that. But sometimes we get caught up in our past and we get caught up with people in our past and we can't get past the past. Amen? Sometimes if we ain't very careful, we get bogged down in the past and we can't participate in the present. Amen? We get in a place that we can't get past the past. But he says, those things which are behind and reach forth. Now he's talking about our present condition. He's talking about where we are right now. Amen. He's talking about where, he said, forget about the past. And he said, just figure out where you are now. Sometimes I believe we just need to stop and figure out where we are right now. Now I'm talking about in a relationship with the Lord. I'm talking about in a relationship with our families, our homes, our lives, people around us. Where are we right now? Amen. In the present. And said, reaching forth unto these things which are before. He said, what we need to do is realize where we're at now and we need to reach for the future. Amen. We need to reach for that we want to attain to later on. Not what we want. Hey, we can't get bogged down in the past. We need to realize where we're at right now in the present, and we need to have desires, godly desires for the future. Amen. We need to be planning our future according to what God wants for us in a direction that we want to go for Him. But a lot of us never think like that. We can't get in out of our little box. We get caught up in our little box, our little framework, and we never get out of that little box. You know who puts us in that box? Well, we do, but the devil does. Well, we may be better because the devil's not omnipresent. We box ourselves in a whole lot of time. But praise God, God says He wants us to think outside that box. Amen? To realize where we're at and think about the future. And he goes on, he says, this is what you need to do. But he said, now this is what I'm going to do. Paul says, now Paul, great apostle, he said, this is what I'm going to do. He said, I press toward the mark. Amen? He said, I press toward the mark. So what he's saying here, he said, Brother Bill, he said, I press toward the mark. He said, I flee where I was at. And he said, I pursue what's ahead. Amen? What we got to do is we got to flee those things that's left behind, those things that so easily beset us, and we got to pursue that's Godward. Pursue that'll help us tonight. Amen. Give us a compassionate heart of love so that we can help someone else. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. The high calling, that's that upward invitation. Amen. He said, I'm pressing for that upward invitation. He said, there's an upward invitation, praise God, it's been given. And he said, I'm pressing, praise God, towards that. Amen. So I've realized that the past is behind, it's gone, I can't fix it. Amen, but I can make it better. I realize where I'm at now, and I'm pushing on for the future. He said, I'm a fleeing that old man that I used to be, praise God, and I'm pursuing the prize. And that prize is a high calling, praise God. It's an upward tug from the glory world. And he said, it's by invitation from God Almighty. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, he goes on and talks about that vital information that we need. I'm talking about this example that he gives of compassion. He said, for the prize of high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. In verse 15, 16, I won't get into that, but he's talking about this vital information and need. He said, he tells us about this with perfection, this that we've received in the mind. He said, if you've received those things from God, he said, hold on to those things, praise God, and keep pursuing, keep aiming. He said, let's just keep walking, praise God, with that we know. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he said, it's a compassionate walk that we need, that should desire to have in the day that we live. Praise the Lord. And he said, God will help us in that walk. Amen. That outpouring of compassion that ought to be in every child of God's heart. But I wonder tonight, is there compassion in our hearts? The kind of compassion that's necessary to help someone along the way. Hey, we got time for one more verse tonight. Let me just look at Isaiah verse 58. Isaiah verse 58. Now, Isaiah's given instructions. And he's given instructions of how to be helped to people that they can help one another. In Isaiah chapter 58, he gets down and let's just go down to verse 10. Isaiah 58 and verse 10, he's talking about this compassion that we need to have. We're talking about the compassion me and you need to have for the lost. I wonder tonight, do we have compassion for the lost? He says this in Isaiah 58. Let me just give it to you right quickly and then we'll go to the house. He said, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry. Amen. Now he's talking about pouring out on purpose something. Amen. He said, if we pour out our heart on purpose to God. I wonder how many of us pour out our heart on purpose. How many of us have ever truly poured out our heart on purpose? I mean, just give on purpose because we can. Because we want to, because we desire to be a help somewhere. Amen. He said, then shall thou light. He says, and satisfy the afflicted soul. See, he said, if thou wilt draw out thy soul to the hungry, amen, and satisfy the afflicted soul. Now, I want to say, he's not talking about just anybody here. He's not talking that old wicked one out there that's trying to just do his own thing and without any concern for God. But he said that one that's an afflicted soul. He said that one that's come in that's depressed in this old world and it's come humbly before God and realizing that they need help. You say, well, preacher, where are they at? They're all over this country. These people all over this country that's in distress, they're desperate, they've humbled themselves, they've come and fell before God and they need help. They like that old Ethiopian eunuch, praise God. And see, they said, hey, do you understand? He said, how can I help some man? Show me. Amen. Amen. There's all kind of folks tonight that's out there just waiting for somebody to show them. And guess what he says? He said, that's our opportunity. He said, then shall thy light rise in obscurity. He said, praise God. He said, listen, he said, there's a light that'll shine out of darkness. Amen. In the black darkness of night, there's a light that illuminates. And I'm beginning to give light. People begin to see the right way. He said, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. He said, that light will come out of darkness. And he said, it'll be as light. Amen. In other words, they'll be able to see. Hey, praise God, the light that you'll be illuminated off of you, praise God, will be just like noonday. High noon, praise God. And he said, the Lord shall guide thee continually. Amen. You know, where we mess up, we don't allow God, we won't take what God has to give us. He said, God's wanting to guide us continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. That means to fill up the overflowing. Amen. In a time of drought, when things are dry and seem to be drying up, he said, praise God. He's a God that wants to satisfy you, that wants to fill you up. He said, and make fat thy bones. That's the supply you need. And thou shalt be like a watered garden. Amen. He said, praise God. That's refreshing in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. It's refreshing. God's Word is there to refresh you. The Holy Ghost of God's there to refresh you. God's there to give you a time of refreshing even now. Amen. He said, and like a spring of water. Talking about that fountain bubbling up. Amen. You remember when you used to be like a fountain bubbling up? Amen. You remember when you used to, the Holy Ghost of God get stirring your heart and you was like a fountain of bubbling up? Wonder what happened to that? Somebody's blocked the well. Somebody's plugged a spring. That somebody's probably you. He said, because he said, these whose waters fail not. Amen. He said, they'll just bubble up on purpose. Praise the Lord. And now listen to what he says. And they that shall be of thee. So in other words, what he said? He said, that's going to be a part of your ministry. A part of what you're called for to do. A part of that help that you've been called to give out. Or in other words, because of you. Did you ever think about what's going to take place? I wonder how many folks are going to get in and be in heaven because of you? Did you ever think about it? This world's full of lost people. How many of them is going to be able to make it to heaven because of you? Because you went to them, because you had compassion, because you said, you know what, I love you. And praise God, I want to just shine some light. I want to give you a little bit of light so you can see the path. Amen. He said, and they shall... that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. That's those things just begin to fall apart and vanish away. I believe there's a lot of Christianities begin to fall apart and vanish away. Amen. Oh me. But he said, and then he goes on and says, but thou shalt raise up the foundations. Amen. He said, now listen. He said, there's got to be a starting point for everything. He said, you're going to have to raise up some foundations. You're going to set some solid places. Amen. Some starting places for many generations. Amen. Jesse, he said, you're going to have to be one of the ones that'll build a foundation for those to come behind you. Amen. You got to do it. Each one of us have to do it individually. Nobody can do it for you. Amen. He said, and he goes on, he says, and thou shalt be caught. And I like this. You know what he's saying right here? He said, now look at me just a second. He said, you're going to be remembered by name. Amen. They're going to look back one day and they say, boy, I remember old brother such and such. Boy, up there at the house of God, he loved the Lord. Boy, and he just bragged on Jesus. He pointed people to Calvary. He told people to come to see Jesus. Amen. He said, that foundation set. And he said, people, generations is coming in. He said, thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. That repairer, that's one. A repairer is one that builds up. Amen. A repairer is not one that tears down. A repairer is one that builds up. And he said, a repairer of the breach. That's a gap. He said, so he's a person. Somebody needs to come along and repair, build up, and fill in the gap. Amen. And he said, the restorer. That's the one that takes something and brings it back to life. You ever watch these home improvement shows? They get on there and they begin to show you how to restore things. I like to watch them restore them old cars. They take an old rusty junk heap and they take it up there and they cut the old rust out and that corroded, that decayed part, and they put in new metal, they weld her in, they polish her up and they sand her down and they put a coat, and boy, they restore that thing and it looks like brand new. He said, that's what God wants. He said, to restore, to bring back, the restore of paths to dwell in. Amen. Now, path, now to me, a path, that's something that's well worn. See, a path isn't just going out here and taking off through the woods. That's just walking in the woods. But praise God, when you find a path where something else has been trod, it'll be well worn. Amen. He said, if you're going to be repaired, one that's going to bring back, he said, you're going to get on a place. And when you begin to try to bring things back, you're going to get on a place that's worn. Amen. A place that's well used. And he said, to restore a pass, that place that's well trodden, and he said, to dwell in. In other words, he said, when you get in there and you get on them well-worn paths, praise God, and you get to doing the right things in the right way, praise God, you're going to want to dwell there. You're going to want to stay on the right place. Amen. There's not going to be anything that's going to dissuade you, praise God. Did you not realize you've got the best part? Amen. When you begin to have compassion on others, you begin to show them the way, praise God, and you begin to lead them down that path. You begin to say, hey, look, come on, come see Jesus. Come see Jesus. He said, you get them on that path, praise God, and they begin to get to seeing little bits of what He does. and they begin to get excited. Now notice what he goes on to say. These other two verses right here are very self-explanatory. He said, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him. Now listen to what he's talking about. He's talking about doing things right on the Lord's day. Amen. He said, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Amen. He said, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. Amen. He said, you'll start getting excited about what you find in that house of God. Amen. He said, I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. Now I envision this as a chariot ride. Amen. God's saying, he's just swooping through there, and he's like, oh, Elijah. He said, hey, just hop on. Let's go for a ride. Amen. And he said, I'll take you up on the high place. He said, those high up places, those mountaintop experiences. God says, let's just ride some of these. Hey, there'll be some valleys, but praise God, let's just ride through these mountaintop experiences. Get up where God's good. Amen. He said, and feed thee on the heritage of Jacob thy father. Amen. That old path. He said, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. He said, praise God, when you begin to have compassion, you begin to show people the love of God. He said, God begin to do these things. And he says, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. He said, you can take that to the bank. Amen. He said, that's real. Brother Charles said, it won't bounce, praise God. You can deposit it because it's real. Amen. Because God has said so. When we begin to have compassion, love one for another, we can come alongside to help each other and do it all for the glory of God because He first loved us. But I wonder tonight, do we have compassion for the lost like we ought to have? Souls is dying, going to hell. But you know what happens when we begin to have compassion for the lost? It brings heaven down to where we are. Amen. When you get to having compassion for old lost sinners, it takes heaven up here and it brings it right down to where we are. Amen. And begins to minister to us and begins to minister through us the precious things of God.